Hello, career transitioners. This is Katrina Brittingham with another installment of Easing the Pain of Transition. I have with me Sophia Marshall. And just give me one second because, of course, I lost my place with the introduction, so please bear with me. Sophia believes the transition process is powerful and with a little persistence believes anyone can achieve the goals they have always wanted. As the consummate educator and trusted advisor, Sophia has continuously found enjoyment in teaching others how to think about their goals and create the right plan to achieve them. Sophia is the owner of SLM Collaborations, LLC, an organization providing cultural change and career management services and workshops to clients and organizations in the midst of transition. She holds a Master of Human Relations from the University of Oklahoma and a Bachelor of Arts in English from Arsinoe College. She is also a board-certified coach and academy-certified resume writer, and a proud active-duty Navy spouse who has resided in 8 places, CONUS and OCONUS, over the last 15 years. I'm going to start for those who don't know Navy terms. What is CONUS and OCONUS?
Oh, okay, yes. CONUS and OCONUS, continental United States, and then outside of the continental United States.
Yes, and I am aware of that, but I know that some people may not know. My brother is in the military, so I'd like to thank you and your husband for your service. I know by having a close relative that the family members also serve with the military participants. So thank you so much for your service.
Yes, thank you.
We're going to start right off, and I'm going to ask you, what advice would you give someone who is in the process of transitioning to a new career?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think no matter what, transition is a process, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, and no matter how many times you've done it. Every transition, you can usually expect it to be different in some particular way. But I would say, thinking about this, there's probably 3 things that you would have to be aware of. I'd say, first of all, be real. Second of all, be patient about it. And then finally, lean forward. And I'll just explain a little bit about those. In terms of being real, I guess, first of all, just understanding that there might be additional steps required for you to get where it is that you want to go. And when I think of that, I'm thinking in terms of education and training. Exactly. Ask yourself, do you need more education and training, especially if you're making a big leap from one particular career field to another? To give you an example, I had a client who has been a truck driver all of his life, and he wanted to transition to doing x-ray technician type work in a hospital. Mm-hmm. So obviously for him, this was something that was a big step for him, and he realized that there would be certain education that would be required in order to get the skill to be an x-ray technician. So that's what I mean by being real. Be patient is to just realize again that transition is a process, and there's probably going to be a lot of growing pains, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. It's just taking the time to reflect on yourself and understand, really try to understand why you're doing it. And I would say that a good career coach, transition coach, can help you to figure that out. And then finally, leaning forward. And I really mean that. I mean kind of leaning forward into your life. I guess doing the things that help you to feel better. You know, when we were all little kids, your mother probably told you things like sit up straight, you know, when you're eating your dinner or whatever, you know, have good posture, smile, those types of things. Try to do all the positive things that you can. That way you can move through your transition and be as happy as possible. So that's my answer to that one.
I love that. Being real, you know, finding out why you're doing what you're doing. And if it's out of fear, if it's something that you really wanted to do, if it's something out of panic, I love that. And being patient, because, yes, transition does take time. And I think sometimes when, especially working with clients, they want it to be right now. And it does take time, and it does take steps. And sometimes they do have to get more education. And I found that some don't want to get that extra education to move forward and, you know, being patient, because sometimes they might have to start back from the ground up. And a lot of times they don't want to do that. So that's wonderful. And, you know, having the positive attitudes and reflecting the positive attitudes, that's very, very good. I took notes while you were writing. Because I was like, wow, this is really good. It's always good to hear someone else's perspective on it, which is one of the reasons why I really wanted this call for my transitioner, so they can, number one, hear from someone else, so it's not like, oh, well, you know, you're just telling me this. Other people are saying the same thing
right.
that I'm saying as well.
It is so important. It is.
Now, with the transition process and the advice, what are tools that you would use to help your clients to transition?
Yeah, another good question, Katrina. So I think first and foremost for me is coaching. I mean, coaching is the biggest tool of all, I think, because the whole process of partnering with your clients to help them understand and perhaps validate what they already know, but they just need that other person to talk to them about it, is very important. I mean, coaching helps in other ways, too. Perhaps the client might be struggling with some way of standing out at work. No matter what it is, basically coaching provides a safe environment to help them explore the possibilities and change of thinking. So that's probably my biggest tool. Along with that, also assessments. And sometimes assessments get a really bad rap, like, oh, I don't want to take another assessment to learn about my personality type. Yeah, you know. There's more assessments out there than that one. One that I happen to be particularly fond of is the SkillScan assessment. And I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it deals more in transferable skills.
Yes.
Which I find a lot of people during their transition, they know they want to do something, but they're not necessarily sure how to get there, especially if the two fields are so far apart.
Right.
So that's then when we will engage in taking a skill scan assessment, trying to identify what those transferable skills are between the two. I find that particularly very useful with a lot of my military clients as well. And then finally, I would say another tool is to actually make a written transition plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would love, ideally, is for clients to seek us career professionals out, perhaps in, I don't know, 1, 2, even longer, a few months prior to the transition. That way we can work with them and we can write down what the plan is actually about. Within the plan, I'd like to see client thinking about why they're leaving, what they're leaving for, and how they plan to get there. So
that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's excellent. I do agree with everything that you mentioned. I am partial to assessments as well. And I do find that sometimes people push back because they feel like, oh, I got to take a test or I have to take an assessment.
Right.
But I do explain to them, it helps me flesh out skills, because sometimes they don't even know what skills they have because they're so busy doing it.
Right.
So it's good to have that. And that's what I explained to them. I said, you're so busy doing your day that half the time you don't know a lot of the skills that you're actually already utilizing.
Right.
So these things do help. And having a transition plan, I do also, you know, advocate the transition plan, and I do let them know this is going to be a couple of months a process. It's not something that's going to be 1 or 2 days and then you're off into your new career.
Right,
to get them organized and organize their thoughts and find out what they actually want to do. Because I've sat down with clients and they told me that they wanted to do one thing, and after I sat down with them and did the assessment and spoke to them about what they wanted to do, they wound up going on a different path.
Yes.
Case in point, I had a client who, she came to me, she said she was in IT, and she wanted to do project management. And I'm listening to her talk, and it's no enthusiasm in her voice at all.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I said, okay. So I started asking her questions. And I said, well, what's your passion? What drives you? What is that one thing that if you could do, you would be in total bliss every day to get up and go to work? And she said, you know, I always wanted to do hair and own my own hair salon. I said, well, you're in transition. Why not take the steps to do that?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, her whole mentality perked up, and we're talking, and, you know, and she's telling me how she did hair all through college, and she does all her family's and her in-laws' hair, and I was like, okay, now this is what I'm talking about. That's why I love the assessments. I love sitting down and talking to them. And now we do have a written transition plan, and we're working towards that. So
I love
the fact that you mentioned those things and those tools and how important they are.
Yes. Oh, that's great. I'm happy that as long as she's happy, she can come and do my hair too.
I told her that because she's like, oh, I want to do Oprah's hair one day. I said, well, you dream big, yes. I said I can put that on my my hairdresser does the hair of Oprah.
yes, dream big. I love that.
Yes, and I always tell my clients to do that because anything is possible if we focus and we put our minds to it. A lot of times we psych ourselves out that we can't do this thing or that thing. It may take some time. It may take some planning. It may take some effort and learning on our parts, but we can do whatever we want to do.
That is right. Yep. Just because perhaps maybe one person may have said no, you keep on going until you get a yes.
Exactly. And with that this is the perfect segue into the next question. What should a career transitioner do on a daily basis to be the most effective in the transition process?
Okay. First, I want to go back to talking about dealing in the positives. So if, let's say you're dealing with, you have somebody that you know and you're dealing with a negative Nancy or a jealous Joe type of a thing, just be aware that those are people that can bring you down, especially in a time in your life when you do not need to be brought down.
Right.
So, you know, put them aside for a little while or cut them loose altogether. Either way, you want to deal only in the positives and deal with people who are positive, you know, self-talk, people that lift you up during a time of transition. So that's probably the first thing. I also would say revisiting the plan that we just talked about, that written plan on a daily basis. That way you can kind of go through and see what you've done. It's really good. I know right now we have the internet and all types of electronic tools and apps and all that to make lists. But sometimes it's nice to have that actual written plan to sit down and check off what you've done. To me, that's a little more validation.
I agree.
Yeah. And then also, just remembering the things you used to do before your transition, the things that made you happy. When I'm thinking about, like, let's say that you've always gotten up and exercised every morning, or you always went a particular place every day. Just because you're in a transition doesn't mean that those things need to stop. Instead, it's time to even ramp it up even more, I would say. Perhaps exercise more, eat less junk. You know, whatever you just want to stay holistic and healthy. That way you can kind of keep your brain firing right during your transition.
Mm-hmm.
And also review your accomplishments as necessary. And that would be, of course, reviewing your resume.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you already have a good resume. If not, you know, of course, career professional, we help with that. But just make sure that you're reviewing your accomplishments, because it'll help you say, okay, I did this here. I can do this and even more in my next position.
Yes,
so it's kind
like
of just positive reinforcement, I think, throughout the whole process.
I agree. I totally agree with that. And like I said, again, same things that I've told the people that I work with, reviewing your accomplishments. Because, again, if you did this in a career that you're good at, you're good where you are, and now you're moving into your dream, so how much more can you do when you're working on your dream?
Right.
And how much more, you know, can you accomplish working on your dream? So I do definitely agree with that about getting up and thinking about the positive, like you said, exercising more, eating healthy, getting your synapses firing. I do tell my clients to envision where they want to go,
mm-hmm.
Where they want to be, because when you see where you want to go, it helps you and motivates you. Also looking at the things you've accomplished along the way, so
yes.
You're closer than you were a month ago to reaching that vision.
That's right. That's right.
And I am partial to a vision board.
Ah, uh-huh.
Where I have my clients create a vision board for the things that they desire for their career and for their life. What is your life going to look like once you have accomplished this thing?
Yes.
And I found that that helps motivate people.
Yep.
You know, do you want to get a new house? Do you want to move to a different area? Do you want to buy a new car after, you know, whatever it is? And to visualize that thing. Do you want to do Oprah's hair? Cut out a picture of Oprah.
Yep.
With nice flowing hair and imagine that's the style that you did for her.
Right.
You know, things like that. And, you know, those things make a difference. And like you said, separating yourself out from those negative people. And it's a shame because sometimes the negative people can be the ones that's closest to you, sometimes friends, sometimes family, because everybody doesn't have your vision of where you're
yes.
going.
Right.
And, you know, to kind of, you know, separate yourself out from that negative talk as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
Surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded, maybe not going into the same industry, but are fellow transitioners or who have transitioned.
Absolutely.
If their transition is going into business, other entrepreneurs who know what you're going through. So
mm-hmm.
that is very insightful, and that is, like, wonderful that you said that, because I love that the tools that they should have on a daily basis. I even tell them, if you got up at a certain time for work, like say the person is out of work maybe in their transition, to get up the same time you got up.
Absolutely. Yes.
Keep your routine the same. Like you said, review the written plan. I'm partial. I know we have technology, and in my generation, a lot of people, all they do is sit on a computer.
Mm,
I like to
mm-hmm.
print things out.
Mm-hmm, me too, yes.
I love e-books and
yep.
everything like that. I have, you know, Kindle on my tablet, but to me there's nothing like having a printed book.
I know,
the pages.
I can go through and highlight and mark up, flip over the page that I know drives people crazy, but that's okay.
And so I love that, and I think it gives a visual tool. It's because I find that sometimes being online and with the computer, you get a little bit of sensory deprivation,
right,
and having
right.
the written plan helps focus your mind back in to do the things that you want to do. I am a partial also to quiet meditation. On the focusing your mind in, bringing your mind in, speaking positive affirmations. And so I know that these are things that if you do them on a daily basis, they help ease the pain of transition. I say the pain of transition because sometimes transition is painful.
Oh, it is. Yes. Oh, absolutely. It is. I guess, you know what, and another one too, I just came to me was about, I would also say anywhere the client, if you are going through transition, you should be wherever, like you mentioned, there are people who are going through the same thing as you are. So for example, if there's happens to be a job fair that comes up, you know, you need to be in that environment. Let's say even, and some people forget about this, but your local libraries are still really, really, really good resources of information. I think, Katrina, don't you teach classes there?
I do have workshops at the library. I actually have a workshop coming up September 22nd.
Okay. Yeah, see, and I mean, these are workshops that so many people think, oh, who goes to the library anymore? You really should, because there's such good information there. Sometimes there's a ton of career classes. And I mean, again, just being around like-minded people or just people in your same situation, I think that can really help, you know, move the transition forward and make you feel better.
Yes, I agree. I definitely agree. And I just have this question because I'm all about finding your passion, your calling, and life purpose. So my question is, do you help people find their passion, their calling, and life purpose so they can be more fulfilled in their careers?
I will, yes. And then I have to say, I think I do. I like doing that type of thing. But I also have to tell you that I don't give fluff.
Right.
We all know life is not all about rainbows, unicorns, and chocolate fountains, all the good things. So, you know, I'm being real, and I think clients come to transition, you know, coaching or whatever it is that they need because they're trying to make some type of change.
Right.
And for me, in particular through coaching, that's dealing with the uncovering what that is, validating it, and with the way that I am, being authentic.
Right.
In terms of discovering, just helping the client, pinning them down, helping them understand what it is that they want, and not being afraid to go for it. Because sometimes we get all nervous. We talked about this before about things that you've always done, so you get comfortable being there.
Right.
Maybe there's something else you want to do, like your client who the IT, lady in IT who really wants to do hair. Without that entire coaching conversation, she never would have been able to get there.
Right.
And then with validation, we come along with saying, hey, the client is trying to find out, is it a good idea or not for them to do that? Should they do that? And, I mean, as coaches, we can't necessarily answer the question. It's a million-dollar question, but we can't always answer it. Instead, we try to help them figure out if it's the right thing for them to do. And many times that's what it's coming for, that validation piece. And then finally, authenticity. I know for me, it's being a truth teller.
Right.
And if it doesn't, if it smells like rotten fish, then it's rotten fish.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just understand. I know for me personally, I tend to know my clients pretty well, and they pay me to be authentic and tell them the truth, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
And you know, I like that, being genuine, because it's like this. If you have someone who's like, oh, I always wanted to be a singer, and they can't carry a tune and they're tone deaf. Well, you have to let them know gently, well, maybe you could do something else in the music.
Right.
So I do believe that as well. And you know, I tell people, I was like, you know, your passion, your calling, your life purpose, and in my opinion, and this is just my definition of it, just from, you know, my personal experience and dealing with clients too, that, you know, your calling might not be exactly what you think it is either. Mm-hmm. It's that one thing that you do the best with the least amount of effort. And when you can do that, you know, it's a different situation altogether. So, and I know that for my own life because I spent years in a career. I was good at it and I made some good money.
Right.
But
right.
It wasn't really, you know, what I was purposed out to do, what my calling was, what I did the best with the least amount of effort. I put a lot of effort into that career mm-hmm. and a lot of energy, a lot more energy than I should have had to, because anything worth doing is hard work. You know, you have to put some effort into it. But I was wearing myself out doing that one career. And when I came upon my calling, yes, I still work hard. I work probably just as hard and maybe even a little bit harder sometimes than I did in the other career. But the fulfillment at the end of the day, you know, was well worth the effort,
right?
If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know, so I tell my clients, you know, be open mm-hmm. to the possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like you said, fear. Sometimes people know, okay, I know that I'm supposed to be doing this, but the fear is paralyzing.
Absolutely.
And it can stunt people where they are. And so I believe that part of the things as career professionals is to help them get through that fear,
absolutely.
To recognize it and identify it first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to get through that fear, and so they can remove that obstacle, that glass wall. I won't say glass ceiling because I believe that they can break through that, but that glass wall that's stopping them from getting, you know, to where they want to be because they're so afraid to step
right.
out into the unknown.
Right. Yes. I like that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I like that a lot. There is, I think the new saying should be the glass wall, not the glass ceiling, because we've already busted that.
Exactly, exactly. And I have a thing of moving forward and moving down a path, because Venture Ready is all about moving into the career path and walking down the path
right.
that you want to walk down going into your new career, and you can't move forward if you have this glass barrier in front of you. You're going to keep
right.
bouncing up against it.
Right,
so
right,
right. That's what that is about. And talking about the fear, I have one question that I didn't prepare ahead of time because it popped in my head while we were talking.
Sure.
Do you recall a time where you had someone who was going through a particularly rough transition, and how did you handle that?
Yes, and it was a client who had always, like we were just talking about, always done one particular thing all her life. It was really tough because it was a lot of family. It was kind of a career that was always what everybody was going to be in her family. I think with that, what we can do as coaches is just be there, validate for them, allow the client that space to explore what life would look like if they were in, of course, a different career.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with coaching is that a lot of the work is done through the sessions, but it's also done after the sessions.
Right.
So whatever, let's say that the assignments is that we allow the clients to come up with for themselves or something that we give them has to be walking toward that step. And then I know for me, my client just one day, she just got it because I think something had happened at her job. And while she's still there, she has recognized that she has a plan and she's following that plan on a daily basis to get where she wants to be. So for me, that's huge because when we started our coaching, it was something that she couldn't even think about. It was a real stressful time for her, just the thought of even going to a new career, family, money, all those things. Mm. But I know with my philosophy, it's very holistic. I talk about, career coaching. I think all coaching is life coaching because your career is a part of your life. You know, your transition's a part of your life. I think for her to see how that actually plays in to her life, her career, how it played into her life, has kind of triggered that change in her way of thinking.
Wow, that's awesome. So she had an aha moment, like, hmm.
Yes. And it's so funny because I think that we as coaches, you know, we want career practitioners, we want to give the answers.
Yes.
It's great. If I'm a teacher and I'm in a classroom, yeah, I can give you the answer, no problem. But it's better for our clients to come up with the answers for themselves because they are the experts on their own lives.
Right.
And a lot of times they already know. They just need that safe place to explore it.
I agree. And I like that, the safe place to explore what they want to do in their career and in their life.
Yep.
I like the fact that you equated career coaching to life coaching because I agree. I think the same thing. And I don't hear too many career coaches who equate life coaching to career coaching because, like you said, this is their life. This is their livelihood.
Yep.
This is what you spend in your career. You spend most of your day doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So more so most times than with your own family sometimes.
Right.
So I do definitely agree with that. And I believe when you're in the career that you want to be in and maybe not the career that was expected of you from your family, then your life takes on a different path and takes on a different meaning for you.
Right.
So
yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's. I'm so proud of her because it really was such a big step for her. And I don't know, for me, I just felt so privileged to be a part of that. I was like, oh, yay, because it's huge. I mean, some people would have just continued walking that same path and been unhappy, but not her. And I'm like, that is a strong woman right there.
Yes, I agree. I agree. It takes strength and it takes courage to move out of a path that was pre-designed for you.
Yeah. Yep.
And especially one that your family is involved in, where it's a family business.
Right. Because
you have to deal with, you know, family disappointment and, you know, what their expectations were of you. And then you have your own dreams. So I commend her, whoever she is,
yeah, yeah.
for taking that step.
Yep.
We mentioned earlier military transition.
Mm-hmm.
Is military transition different or more difficult than a civilian transition?
I would say it depends, my answer to everything. But usually it can be, just because it's a shock. It can be a shock to the system. When we're talking about a military person, a person who's been in uniform all of their lives, there's such a camaraderie with military. That's the first thing. As well as with, in terms of rank and jobs and ribbons. I'll just call it chest candy. People know when you walk into a room of other military people, people already know just by looking at the chest candy who you are, what you've done, and where you stand. There's a certain kind of respect or status built into that.
Yes.
But when it's, you know, when it's time to transition to the civilian career, it's gone. It's all gone. So I think that that's the portion right there that many military clients have a little bit of trouble with.
Right.
At least I've heard it many times. You just have trouble with that because now you have to prove it, but on paper and in a job interview, whereas with the military, you don't have that.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. I would say it can be more difficult, yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I always wanted to ask that because I've worked with military clients, but I've never, with resumes, I've never career coached them. And I talked to my brother about it, but I think he's not quite ready to retire yet. He's in his last, why can't I think of it? He's in his last deployment, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Is what it's called. His last assignment. And so after this, I believe he has 3 more years, and then he's going to retire.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He's done his 20 years, which I can't believe. I feel so old. Because wow. I remember when he went in, and I was young and doe-eyed and in my teenage years, and now he's about to come out. And so he's, you know, he feels he's prepared to retire, and he feels he's prepared to move on to the civilian life. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm not too sure, but I can't really tell him that right now.
You know, some people think, oh, yeah, I'm ready to do it, just because maybe something has happened, maybe everybody gets tired every once in a while of a particular workplace. But
right.
He will miss, and I've heard this from many people, my brother retired from the military as well. No matter what, you miss that camaraderie. That's probably the very first thing that I hear.
Right.
So I would suggest that he starts now. Of course, you've probably heard of it before, the Military Transition Program, the TAP program.
Yes.
That is definitely a good first step, because then that will connect him with other resources that he needs. But he needs to not just stop there. He needs to go on to, I'm not sure, what branch of service is he in?
He's in the Navy.
Oh, okay. So that's, the Fleet and Family Support Center. That
would okay.
be another place that he needs to go. And then if that's not enough, because it may not be enough, he should find a career professional, work with you. But sometimes, maybe because you're his sister, that may not work well.
Well, actually, he wants to work with me, and we will see how that goes. Because I'm the younger sister, so, you know, they don't always want to listen to the younger.
And the reason I said that is because I have that same problem. he did not want to listen to me, so I'm like, okay, that's fine.
And I think it's worse when they've been in the military and they've had rank, because he's pretty high up in there, worked his way up, and he's used to calling the shots and not necessarily listening. So we will see how it goes, and if it does not work well, thank goodness I have a list of people who work, and you do military, so I'll recommend you.
I will talk to him.
And he'll be more prone to listen to you. I'm like, she has a lot of experience working with military people, so she knows.
It's just something about that. I don't know. It's like I can say something until I'm blue in the face, and then when you get it, when someone else close to you gets it from somebody else, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, guess what they told me. So I don't know how that works, but oh, well.
It is what it is at the end of the day. First, big brothers are big brothers.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, you know, you have that, and you have, you know, the training. They're built to lead and be leaders and to give the answers, and mm-hmm. now they're in a position to have to get the answers from someone else. So I think it's a catch-22 with that. But I do thank you so much for your time. We are coming up on 45 minutes in the call. I think it was a awesome call that got a lot of information and was packed full of positive things and eye-openers and aha moments. And I totally respect your time and thank you. With this time,